So, good afternoon, everyone. I'm sitting here feeling pretty shaky. My heart is pounding. Can you hear in the back? Can you hear the heart pounding in the back? Feels that big. So, just gonna breathe with you as we practice together. So I wanted to talk a bit about mudita this afternoon. Mudita is the Pali word for sympathetic joy, sometimes empathetic joy, or my favorite is appreciative joy. And it's the third of the Brahma Viharas. So we've done metta, loving kindness, and we've done compassion, karuna, so beautifully led by Nakoe yesterday. Mudita is the third one, and sometimes it's difficult to talk about mudita in some ways, right? We get a lot of emphasis on metta and compassion. We don't hear so much about mudita sometimes. But the thing about the Brahma Viharas, I think Jill mentioned Brahma meaning divine, and Vihara is the word for abode, dwelling place. And for me, any of these, kindness, compassion, joy, also equanimity, which is the fourth, they truly are divine abodes, right? Safe dwelling places. Sometimes when we're in retreat and we're being tossed around by the storms, the vicissitudes of strong emotions and deep embodied trauma, all kinds of things are happening on the cushion. And it feels like the Brahma Viharas, this kindness, this kind attitude, is the only safe place, really, to abide in the midst of all that. So it's interesting because this flavor of friendliness or metta is really the ground. I think Jill also talked about this, the foundation. And then when it turns towards suffering, it becomes compassion. And when this metta, this kindness, turns towards joy or well-being, it turns into mudita. This flavor of celebration, gladness, an uplifting lightheartedness. And it's tricky. One reason maybe why mudita isn't emphasized is that sometimes when we try to be light and joyful, we go for that, the opposite happens, right? So with each of these Brahma Viharas, there's a near enemy and a far enemy. And these flavors of the far enemy of sympathetic joy is jealousy, right? We know that kind of feels the opposite. We're trying to rejoice in others' well-being, and so easily it falls into envy, right? Because we're like, well, I don't have that. Or why don't I get those blessings in my life? So just to know that's a real possibility. I know for me, I'll just share a little story about this. In retreat, I like to practice mudita. And I have a particular friend who I do it for because he has everything I like. He's also a Dharma teacher. He's a little bit farther ahead on the path. So he's like internationally teaching and very popular and has a healthy relationship, vibrant health in his body, like everything's going well. So I can get into the groove of like, yes, yes, may your many blessings continue. So happy for you. And then at some point, it can turn. And I think, well, I don't have that, you know, get into that wanting. So it's just interesting to watch those flavors, right? So jealousy being the far enemy. The other thing that can happen when we're doing joy practice is we get really exuberant. You know, that you might have had these moments like, oh, the sun and the ice and the trees, and it's just so beautiful and everything's glowing, right? This kind of effluvious, happy exuberance, that's actually the near enemy of joy, right? Because it feels a little bit out of balance, maybe out of touch. And we forget that life has both, right? That we need the compassion and the joy. So just to play around in this arena a bit. It can also go the other way. I found mudita so refreshing, actually, because I might be going along my practice and retreat and notice the mind is chewing away at something that's a little tinge of jealousy or envy. So give you an example. I was in a solitary retreat, I was in a cabin by myself for 6 months. And it was, I think, March or April. I was halfway through. And it was a really hard retreat for lots of reasons. I was so lonely. And I was up in the mountains, really nobody around. And I was doing walking practice. And it was one of those first days of spring where I could see the first flowers coming and the birds were out and the sun was so perfect. And instead of feeling joy, I was feeling sorry for myself, right? I was thinking about all my friends and family down in the valley, 45-minute drive away, who were probably out hiking that day and enjoying each other's company and maybe going on the river, you know, like celebrating spring together. And I was like, I'm stuck in this muddy cabin. I'm all alone. You know, I was having a lot of those thoughts. And then I just realized, like, walking, I could shift into mudita for these folks that were actually out enjoying the day, instead of feeling like the loss that I was suffering. And it was like, all of a sudden, I had all of it. Like, I could be out hiking and on the river and enjoying friendship. And it was this magic moment of, like, I didn't have to be all those places at once. I could just be slowly walking and celebrating life with everybody else out doing those things. So that was a real moment of mudita for me. But of course, you know, we're going to experience a whole range of emotions. And as George, the famous George Mumford, likes to say, we're training in freedom. So this is a training. And we're not going for perfection here. So just the invitation to start really small. I like to set the bar low with metta, right? Like, or mudita, if we just have that smallest intention to maybe at some point feel some joy for myself or for somebody else, that's enough. So if you encounter some of the darker sides of mudita, just allowing the possibility, maybe the goodness is a little bigger, right? The good intention is bigger. So I really appreciate the work of Brother David Stendahl-Rast. And he is a Catholic Benedictine monk who speaks and writes a lot about mysticism and the intersection between science and spirituality. Actually, Roberta was telling me this morning that she knows him. So I wanted to read this from him. It feels like an expression of mudita. In my best, my most alive moments, in my mystical moments, if you want, I have a profound sense of belonging. At those moments, I'm aware of being truly at home in this universe. I know that I'm not an orphan here. There's no longer any doubt in my mind that I belong to this earth household, in which each member belongs to all others. Bugs to beavers, black-eyed Susans to black holes, corks to quails, lightning to fireflies, humans to hyenas and humus. To say yes to this limitless mutual belonging is love. So mudita has that sense of belonging, right? Of celebration in all of our good fortunes. And just another quote from Audre Lorde, who is a writer and feminist and civil rights activist. She said, "For once we begin to feel deeply in all aspects of our lives, we begin to demand from ourselves and from our life pursuits that they feel in accordance with that joy which we know ourselves to be capable of." So it's beautiful, I think, that mudita follows compassion, because we have that resiliency, the courage to touch into the difficulty, to wish ourselves free of suffering. And then we can rejoice in the goodness that's here. Right? We see ourselves capable of the whole gamut. That in every moment, even in a deep moment of suffering, there's something we can be grateful for. One of my dear teachers, Guy Armstrong, says that gratitude is actually mudita for self. Right, so we go through the same categories. We can start with ourself, and then a dear friend, benefactor, loved one, neutral person, difficult person, and then all beings. And with mudita, we're rejoicing in others' goodness. And for ourselves, we can feel gratitude for our many blessings. So today is my father's 86th birthday, and I have a lot of mudita for him. He's strong and healthy. He has many friends in his life, and he has such a good heart. So when I think about him, I just think, may your many blessings continue. There might be a little bit of a selfish motive there, because I want him to stay healthy and happy for me. But it's that sense of, yes, there's joy here, there's goodness. Let's celebrate it together. So we can practice a bit. And I want to start, and I'll move us through the categories. We'll do each one. But I really want to start with this gratitude for our own blessings in our own lives. Because my experience is that it's much easier to spill out into the other category when we feel full. Right? So when we feel like, yes, I have many blessings, and may they continue. We have that sense of resourcefulness, of really being safe and healthy and cared for and grateful, then it's much easier to move out and celebrate others' goodness too. So you can find your comfortable position. And even in this act of just settling in, finding the goodness there. And George talked about Vedana, or feeling tone, this morning. So maybe finding something that's pleasant in the body. Maybe a pleasant sensation in the body, or maybe a pleasant sensation in the mind. Some sense of well-being. Touching into that goodness. And may my many blessings continue. And then perhaps bringing to mind something else that happened today. Some beauty, some comfort, some insight. Allowing that to really sink into your body and mind. Maybe the sparkling snow or a tangy bite of olive. Or some kindness you received from another. A breath of fresh air. Or just the sincerity of your practice, your willingness to keep coming back again and again. And feeling the goodness that's here in your heart. May my many blessings continue. Feeling our collective good fortune in being here in this safe place with access to quite amazing teachers, the Dharma here, sharing in community. May my many blessings continue. So you can allow your mind to be playful in this process, just skipping around, perhaps noticing other blessings in your life. Family or friends or little joys can be very small. Letting your mind just play in this arena of gratitude. And if something else is happening in the heart, if there's some tightness or sadness coming up, allowing that to be held in a bigger field of good intention. And may my many blessings continue. And now continuing with the same sense of goodness, but turning towards a dear friend. Or this could be a teacher, a benefactor in your life. It could be a family member, a child, a pet. Someone who's really easy to love. And just allowing your mind, again, to just lightly, playfully imagine them in their lives. And touch in on their many freedoms, their many joys. Perhaps it's access to clean water. Or enjoying healthy food, a strong body. And we can also think about their skills and talents. Maybe this is a child who is full of wonder. Or a skillful cook, a good writer, a good communicator. Just seeing the joys, the goodness of this other. And wishing them well. May your many blessings continue. You might imagine this person smiling, feeling happy, receiving all their blessings. Yes, may these continue for you. And now we'll move on to a neutral person, or maybe somebody we don't know so well. I'll invite you to pick perhaps somebody in the room. stranger, maybe somebody sitting near you. And we might not know all the details of this person's life, but perhaps we can see some of their goodness, some of their blessings. It might be that they have good posture, or cozy slippers, you can see their diligence in practice. And yes, my friend, may your many blessings continue. And staying curious about the different qualities of heart in this practice. It's okay if it's easier to think about someone you know well. But you can also use your imagination here. Staying open. Just allowing the mind to imagine the blessings in this neutral person's life. May your many blessings continue. So we're going to move into the next category, which is the difficult person. And I'll encourage you not to pick the most challenging person in your life. And of course, when you hear that, you're going to want to do it. I always do. It just the encouragement to maybe not challenge yourself so much. You can pick someone who's slightly irritating or annoying. Or if you really want to, just go for the really most difficult and you feel like you have the resources. Just experiment. Notice. You might have some resentment, jealousy come up. That's also okay. So I know for me, I do have one difficult person who I work with often. And it's interesting how you can see the person, know that it's difficult, and also acknowledge, wow, this person also has so many blessings. Right? They probably have people that love them, even if I don't. So may your many blessings continue. Again, you want to be very gentle with your heart. You're going to maybe come up against edges. This is naturally part of the practice. But curious, can we see the blessings in this person's life and really be happy for them? Maybe they enjoy good coffee or have a comfortable place to live, a nice car. Maybe one or two good qualities, maybe. And may your many blessings continue. If at any point you find yourself a little overwhelmed or kind of swirling around in darkness, you can come right back to gratitude. Maybe a hand on your heart. Knowing you're doing good, you have good intentions. And may your many blessings continue. And noticing the breath. Noticing how the body is when it's maybe doing something challenging. If there's tension, relax. And we're going to open it up now. This is my favorite part. So really allowing the mind to be creative. roaming around the whole world and imagining people celebrating dinner together, perhaps someone offering a meal. Or nuns who are chanting, and people climbing mountains, people doing good work. And folks being cared for. People who live nearby and people who are far away. Imagine people laughing, greeting each other at the airport. And perhaps the simplest act of generosity, offering a little bit more in the tip at the restaurant, or opening a door. People who are caring for animals. And rowing boats. And people who live in warm climates. Birds in the forest. May your many blessings continue. And letting your mind take it in, feeling wide, happy. And for all beings, may your many blessings continue. And this is not ignoring or negating all the suffering in the world, but allowing the goodness to be seen and celebrated also. Maybe one more breath. May our many blessings continue. And then as you exhale, letting go of any images or effort, the practice, just sitting, allowing things to be just as they are. And I'll just end with a poem by Rumi. Come to the orchard in spring. There's light and wine and friends in the pomegranate flowers. If you do not come, these do not matter. If you do come, these do not matter.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.